Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Artificial intelligence and machine learning might sound like the stuff of sci-fi movies, but hedge funds, major banks, private equity firms are already deploying next-generation technologies to gain an edge. Citigroup, for example, uses machine learning to make portfolio recommendations to clients. We've got high-frequency trading firms relying on machine learning tools to react to financial markets. And we've got quant shops like Panagora Asset Management that have developed complex algorithms to test quite sophisticated investment ideas. Now, one firm that is pushing the boundaries is Remar Capital. It was founded in 2014. And I've got Remar's Matthew Auerbach in studio to talk about how elite investors are using artificial intelligence and machine learning to gain an edge. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're based in London at the moment, but obviously in Johannesburg seeing a few clients. How do you use machine learning and artificial intelligence to develop trading strategies for your clients?
Well, I think it's a completely different way of looking at data and companies compared to what we traditionally used to. South Africa is very much dominated by traditional fundamental analysis. And what machine learning and AI is doing is taking all that data and treating it exactly like that as data and working out what the best returns, what the best solutions, what the best outcomes are based on the amount of data. And then you've also got the speed of analysis where, you know, one analyst could look at a company for take a day. You know, machine learning could quite easily take it in a nanosecond or two. So it's very much looking at the new technology and the new computing power and how to use that in traditional markets and looking at it from a slightly different angle to what we normally used to.
And as we know, investing in markets is all about speed with which you can make those decisions. We're not talking about high-frequency trading, though. That's something that's quite different, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, high-frequency trading run on a sort of a 53-47% hit ratio. And if you repeat that enough times over and over again, your edge will come through and hopefully give you returns. The other ways of doing it is, you know, we more of a longer term nature, sort of a week or two. And it's just a different way of looking at markets and companies and securities and instruments.
Now, obviously, they say you're only as smart as the data you're feeding these algorithms and these programs. So how does one approach that? What sort of data do you use? Or have we yet reached that stage where we're into the so-called deep learning, where just all of the data is thrown into the pot and you actually don't know what's going to come out the other side?
With regards to deep learning, the amount of data is actually infinite. And I don't think many guys have actually got the amount of data required to do proper deep learning. And that's going to come over the next couple of years and we're starting to work on it. But, you know, it is an evolution. You know, with regards to the amount of data, the data is there. It's the filtration and working out what is relevant and irrelevant data is often the most important thing. And that, you know, if one looks at life today, there's no shortage of data. It's just working out what data is relevant and what's not, what's important, what's fake and what's real.
When it comes to skills, what sort of impact is this going to have on the skills required for asset managers into the future?
I think it's opening up a separate subset of skills within the asset management industry. You know, in London, if you go onto your jobs website, eFinancial Careers, and you just look at the jobs for fund managers, a lot of them are for quants, programmers, systematic traders. So there's a definite push in London towards these types of strategies.
And it's interesting to see how one can even use these sort of strategies just for your fundamental analysis as well, the way we can design a program to go and trawl for particular keywords and then lump them together. Very interesting top-down view of markets as well. But I want to come back to what's going on in the city in London at the moment. You know, you've been there for a few years now. What's the mood like in the city and the reception towards what is still a relatively nascent and new strategy in the marketplace?
So in terms of the city, when we're not talking about Brexit and who's going to be leading the country, you know, it's very much people are starting to recognize it more and more of an asset class. It's getting more and more acceptance. You've still got your traditional guys, but you've got a sort of a new kid on the block. And I think with everyone's portfolio, they want to mix a bit of the old style with the new style because they haven't had enough time to get fully comfortable with the new technologies, but they're still very comfortable with the old. So there's quite a lot of evolution and change within the industry.
What this does offer, though, is for any portfolio, you're always looking for some kind of uncorrelated element that diversifies your portfolio, and this seems to offer a great deal of that.
Absolutely. In terms of the uncorrelation, because it thinks completely differently, by nature, you're going to get an uncorrelated view. You know, if you want to relate that to the South African market, the various unit trusts, they're all based on equities with a similar weighting and similar shares. So although you might have three different managers, they're still quite correlated.
Mm.
This looks at completely a different way of thinking, as well as it takes advantage or it avoids the disadvantages of human behavior, of overconfidence, of your ego, of thinking that you're always right, or you know, there are a whole lot of issues which, unfortunately, our human brains are disadvantaged by.
Yeah, all of those cognitive biases that the behavioral economists like Kahneman and Tversky have pointed out to, the machines don't have those. And a good thing, too, because we saw how a lot of that impacted people piling into rather toxic securitized assets before the global financial crisis. Not too many of the herd picked that one up. So quite clearly, this is a strategy that we'll likely see more of. Matthew, you're in South Africa currently, surely meeting clients. What has the reception been like in the South African market?
I think the South African market is, at the moment, is a little bit, call it depressed, and they're looking for new ideas. And having had sort of subscale returns for a number of years, are open to new ideas. And this is a new technology. They've seen it come from overseas. And AI and machine learning is penetrating lots of different ways in everyday life. So, you know, to put it into asset management, where there's large amounts of data and it is suitable to that discipline, they're quite interested to see.
Matthew, that's unfortunately all we have time for. We've run over a little bit. Matthew Auerbach of Rymar Capital. And